So today's topic was selected out of six or seven suggested alternative topics, and the first question that came to my mind was how familiar project controls people are with the term BIM, with the BIM methodology. So I will carry out a micro inquiry, and could you please raise your hand if you don't know, if you do not know what BIM is? Okay, so you all know, okay. 95% of you know what it is. Second question, and then I will dive into the presentation. Raise your hand if you are involved in a BIM project. Okay, so say roughly 10%. Okay, so as usual, a few words about myself. So I'm a mechanical engineer, and my professional life can be divided basically into two parts, what I call the technical phase of my professional life, which is the period during which I thought that everything technical was the only thing that existed. Then I discovered, thanks to Bechtel, that there are also other things like project management, planning, and project controls. And lately, I fell in love with BIM, building information modeling, which is today's topic. I've worked in many continents and in several and substantially different industry sectors. And up to a few months ago, I was working for a large company, and now I've started my little own company called, as you can see, FP Opera. So we will start with, as usual, with a definition of what the topic is about, and I will quote official sources. This is from the HM government industry strategy document. So BIM is a collaborative way of working. This is a theme that will be reoccurring in the next 40 minutes. So it's a way of working based on collaboration. We will expand on this principle later. And it's supposed to be underpinned by digital technologies, so the technology contribution to a BIM realization is very, very important. And the idea is to achieve benefits that we will describe later. In the US, BIM is referred to as virtual design and construction, but it's basically the same thing. And the really important aspect of BIM is that it's not a nice to have, but it's something that must be put in place within 2016, which is very, very close. I'm also offering a couple of definitions which I find particularly interesting. This is one, which is, if BIM is correctly implemented, it's a very smart way of dealing with change. And I think we all agree that change is always around the corner. Independently of how well we plan our work, it is always there attacking us, and we've got to deal with it. And the last additional definition, this is not official, but it's being used by many individuals working in the BIM area, and that is about reducing, de-risking the project. So if a project is dealt with the BIM approach, the risk is substantially reduced. This slide is about the most common misconceptions of what BIM is not. So in conversations about BIM, I've heard, and many of you will obviously, I think, will agree, you hear about BIM being the model itself. This is a very incorrect and a very narrow-minded approach to what BIM is. You know, the model is what authoring tools produce, and it's not the methodology itself. The other letter of the acronym, which is really misleading, is the B for building. It's not true that this way of working is applicable only to buildings. Actually, it's applicable to large infrastructure projects. It's happening. I can see in the audience people that are working in the infrastructure world that are adopting BIM, you know, linear projects. And therefore, don't be misled by this letter B. And the third letter of the acronym is also a bit misleading and is certainly not new, the principle of modeling. Just to give you an idea, I was working in Saudi Arabia more than 30 years ago, 35 years ago, where I was partially involved in a project, in a military project you may have heard of. It's called KKMC, King Khaled Military City. It's the equivalent of the, it's the Saudi Arabian equivalent of the Pentagon. At that time, 35 years old roughly, the whole city, you know, built from scratch for tens of thousands of people, was modeled to the extent that you could actually be taken through, you could visit virtually the city, you could go inside schools, and I remember this detail, I will take it to the cemetery with me. You could see the blackboard inside the classroom. At that time, there were still blackboards. So can you imagine how, you know, modeling is not a new technology at all. The key element of BIM is the central letter, as all of you involved in BIM know about. So the trick and the art, if you wish, is to deal in a smart way with information. I will adopt a very light touch in this presentation, also because of the time. You will hear, with one exception, only one software name. The presentation will be software agnostic, and I will use only essential terminology so that we can communicate and understand each other. I will make an analogy, as the title of the presentation says, between the world of BIM and the world of food. Okay? So let's dive into the presentation itself. So I would like you to take a few things away after I've finished. And the main objective is basically to demystify BIM so that if you like this subject, you can approach it without being scared of it, because it's basically about doing a lot of stuff that you are already very good at. So it's not a matter of jumping into something completely new. It's about activities and knowledge that you have already mastered. So don't be scared of this thing. And other disciplines, not only project controls and food, are dealing with the kind of stuff that BIM is about. I will repeat this concept later, like Six Sigma, Lean. You know, this is all. These are all activities that are actually performed in a BIM environment, right? And in order to be realistic, I will also draw your attention to what are still, open challenges, unresolved problems. Obviously, it's when a subject like this is being dealt with, we've got to practice and be very practical and work with people that are dealing with BIM, but we've also got to read a lot of stuff. And I'm showing on this slide the number of documents dealing with BIM, so it's a massive amount of documentation that is available free of charge, and it's not easy to select what to read, what not to read. In some instances, there is also contradicting documentation, as it always happens on the internet, right? The two websites have been, these are the essential websites I've decided to include. These are official websites where you will find lots of links to other material covering the BIM subject. So I said that I will make reference to key documents and terminology. Certainly this is a key document. This is the 2011 HM Industry Strategy document, which is where BIM appeared as an official term, appeared for the first time. And its kind of brother, looking ahead, is the 2025 vision of what BIM will look like in a few years' time. Then we have standards, official standards. BS 1192 is the first document that deals with collaboration, the core message of this presentation, followed by a series of so-called PAS, publicly available standard. All this stuff is free of charge. You can download it from the internet. This green document, they are recognized by the color, is covering the capital expenditure element of the life cycle of BIM. It is followed by PAS 1192-3, which is the FM, facility management, operation and maintenance element of the life cycle. Then the fourth bit of the 1192 is addressing a specific subject, which is a file format, which is at the basis of information exchange, which is called COBE, right? And the last PAS, which was published only recently, is addressing a massive challenge, which is about data security. You can imagine, you know, we are talking about information, you can imagine how important the data security aspect is. So altogether, almost, around 250 pages of stuff that needs to be read and understood. It's not light reading material, but it needs to be, you know, read, unfortunately. So the terminology that I've distilled on this slide is the maturity level. You may have heard of BIM level, maturity level 1, 2, and 3. There is a very famous diagram, a wedge diagram, that I've decided not to display because you must have seen it maybe hundreds of times already. Anyway, the 2016 target is about achieving building maturity level 2, which itself would require some... It's basically file-based BIM, data exchange, sorry. The second term, which is really important, which is where everything starts from, is a document that is called EIR. So the employer has to put in writing what he needs in terms of information, not what he needs in terms of asset. It's not a matter of saying, I need a hospital. It's about defining what information I need to design, build, operate, and maintain a hospital. Building execution, BIM execution plan is pretty obvious. This is the document that whoever will deliver this BIM solution, whoever does this has to describe how the EIRs will be satisfied and met. Then another term you will come across, which is about the central role of data, is CDE, Common Data Environment, which is, well, all the information stroke data is contained so that everybody can refer to this central and single place. Another term that, another acronym that is very important in the world of BIM is the Digital Plan of Work. is a free of charge tool, electronic tool, that was developed for the purpose of helping creating and maintaining a BIM environment. COBE, I've already said, is a file format, basically an Excel-based file format. The advantage, stroke disadvantage, if you wish, is that it's based on a very, very widely used tool, Excel, and its full wealth of information is contained in this file format called IFC, which is an international standard. It contains all the aspects, geometric information, functional information. It looks like a simple concept, you know, file format, but it's a very, very big subject. Again, if you go to the internet, you will find all the details about this file format. The last acronym I've decided to share with you is the so-called LOD, which stands for level of definition, which is a combination of the geometric shape, what you see on the screen. You can spin these buildings on the screen. That is the geometrical aspect of the assets, and the non-geometrical, non-graphical data, which is what BIM is about. So you attach, imagine that the building is made like a Lego of little bricks. To each element of the brick, you attach whatever information you need, I don't know, cost, contractor, material, whatever. So I said that I will use the analogy approach, because it appears that if you make analogies, it's easier to remember subject matters, right? So you might say, what kind of analogy exists between this thing here and this thing here, or between this and this? Now, the analogy exists, in my opinion, because the process that leads to the delivery of these masterpieces, right, are the processes are similar, right? So you may like or not like this type of architecture. By the way, do you know what this is? This is the Frank Gehry's Guggenheim Museum in Bilbao, north of Spain. This I decided to show you this slide business reason and for a personal reason. The personal one being that I visited this museum a few months ago. But the really interesting bit, the first one was not very interesting, is that this architect, Frank Gehry, Canadian architect, used a piece of software, and this is the only exception, I told you, I will mention a piece of software, which is called Katia, that was the software used to design an airplane fighter, the Mirage. It's called Katia. It's a French piece of software that Frank Gehry utilized to help him study the various options of this cladding and shape, you know, object, you know, which is pretty complex. Just for your information, what you see are titanium plates, the thickness of which was studied with this software, you know, in order to take into account thermal expansion and so on. So it's a pretty complex structure, and the software that helped this architect comes from the manufacturing world. Okay. Another small reason that involves me personally is that about 25 years ago, I was in the States following a CAD-CAM computer-aided design, computer-aided manufacturing course at a university in the States. And during the training, they used the same software, Katia, and the exercise was about the sole of the Nike trainers. You know, when you know these very complex grooves in the sole of the trainers were being studied on a computer using the same software. So we are talking about a building, a complex building, that was designed with the help of a tool coming from the manufacturing world. So it's rather interesting, right? This is the part of a menu of a restaurant where, you know, integration, collaboration, all the stuff we will go through is at the root of these fantastic end results. I can guarantee to you that this is very good stuff because I had some of these plates and they are really very good. So they are both masterpieces involving you know, collaboration and ingredients that I will keep describing during the rest of the presentation. This is a Foster's fantastic building, and this is another menu of a completely different kitchen, a type of cuisine, not coming out of a different kitchen, but different type of cuisine. You know, these are different end products, but they all are the result of collaboration, you know, ability to deal with very, very special choices of ingredients, quality, timing, you know, all this stuff that is required to deliver a high-quality product. So let's go through the real ingredients of this of these two worlds that deliver a BIM solution. Obviously, the number of grams is totally irrelevant. If a number is greater than another one, it doesn't mean that it's more important. You know, salt and pepper usually are very small quantities, but you know, if you double a small quantity, you can ruin the whole plate and so on, right? So one of the first elements that I would like to talk about is this, what I call desire and capability to listen, right? So what I mean is that the team members that, and this is another important concept, the team member is not the usual designer contractor. It must include all the people involved in the realization of a project, from conception up to and including operation, maintenance, asset management, and facility management. So if all the teams of this effort are ready and capable, because you may be ready, but you may not be capable, to understand what the others require, you are really starting in the right direction with the right approach. Okay? But this is what you already do, because you, being in the world of project controls, are very familiar with the concept of requirements management, right? If you don't manage the requirements at the beginning of a project, you end up by delivering the wrong end product, right? Not the intended product, right? And you end up by doing what happens in the Chinese whisper, right? So I've included a couple of sketches just to make it more, just to make it lighter. This is coming from the Italian language, from a misunderstanding that derives from the Italian language, similar sound of two words. Fischi means whistles, and fiaschi are the containers where, you know, we store wine, right? So the sketch is about a young boy that misunderstood the father's request to bring three bottles of wine, but the young boy brought three whistles, right? The next slide is probably the most famous slide, or the next sketch, that circulates in engineering offices. It's about misunderstandings that go through the life cycle of a project, of an intended product. So the beginning, top left, is how the client described it in the first place, and the bottom right is what he actually needed. And through this cycle, you see what happens, you know, to the various steps, you know, how the consultants priced it and how it was described. I like the one on the bottom left, which is the way in which the project was documented. So nothing, right? So the second element of the analogy of the ingredients is, and this is, I hope it is a very reassuring message. There is always the need of specific knowledge in what we do. I found a term recently that I'm going to use again and again because I think it's very, very appropriate. These are the so-called sacred spaces. These are the areas where we feel comfortable because we have invested time in studying, practicing this stuff. So I'm going to list all these things, and if you add the word management at the end of each one of these bullet points, you will slowly but surely recognize the kind of stuff that you already do. This is, for example, I can see an ex-colleague of mine who is a risk management expert and so on, right? Or cost management people. So this is what our Bibles, the Bibles of the project controls world, the APM and the PMI bodies of knowledge, called the areas of knowledge, right? And these first six elements is or are referred to the so-called capital expenditure world. This is what is happening during the realization of during the construction of an asset, right? Then there is also a lot of knowledge and expertise in the world of facility management, operation maintenance, and if you want, asset management, which is obviously happening in the when the operational expenditure takes place, right? So these are the things that you already know that need to be exchanged and communicated with the others. They need to be understood because the essence of BIM, managing information, is about collaboration and integration. Now, collaboration and integration, according to my research and to my personal experience, are terms that sometimes are misunderstood in the sense that some people think that they are very similar concepts, but they are not. And I will quote two of the best definitions that I found. The first one is on the screen now. Now, collaboration is a data-centric activity where different disciplines exchange data and information in whatever format, I don't know, verbally or in writing or a computer file, right? With the intent of achieving, of course, a common objective, right? Whereas integration is a knowledge-centric activity. It's about the process behind, or the process that defines the rules behind this data exchange. And the next slide is depicting the, or describing the reason why this difference is so important. The difference is important because collaboration requires that a project is identified. For example, a team involved in a project may collaborate, okay? They are working together. You know, collaborate comes from Latin, working together, right? So you may find yourself in a situation where collaboration exists. We've all been in environments where there is collaboration, but I hope that you will agree that you have not seen many instances of full integration, right? Where all the rules of communication, you know, frequency of data exchange, format, processes, you know, human communication, you know, computer communication algorithms, rules, all these things are still, you know, not in place in many organizations, right? So it's really important to understand this difference, because collaboration without integration is a much, much lower value. You know, the big value of BIM, of the management of information, is deriving from the degree of integration that is being achieved, okay? So these are graphical representations of these areas of knowledge, and collaboration is actually this. Obviously, I've drawn a number of arrows that are not complete. I didn't draw all the possible connections, but it's about exchanging data with amongst the different disciplines without necessarily. For example, this is in practice what I mean. You know, a structural engineer receives a general layout by an architect. This general layout itself may be 1 month old. Then the structural engineer takes, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks to develop his calculation, and then it goes on and on. It's not a very efficient way of working. The integration, or the difference between integration, is that the same areas of knowledge are actually pointing to a central place, right, which is the so-called common data environment, right? So the difference is between this random communication and not organized communication of data information and a communication environment where at the center of the world there is this common data environment to offer the so-called single version of the truth. Now, I'm sure that many of you will have already started this thought. You know, we have heard this term many, many times, especially in the world of project controls, especially when we refer to reporting, right? Progress reporting, if it's not pointing to or referring to the single version of the truth, it's not a very reliable reporting system, because if the data is sitting in different databases and maybe the data is different, you don't know which report to look at and which one you should trust, right? So the big difference of BIM is that not only project management, planning, project controls data is at the center of the world, but also the graphical. Imagine a place, and some software houses have already developed solutions that go towards this integrated solution. Imagine a place where you have graphical, non-graphical data in the same place, and facility management, operation and maintenance data in the same place. So everybody knows that there is a storage where the latest, only unique and reliable source of data is available to all the players. Another thought that this sentence may have triggered in your head is, not everybody should see every element of the information. Obviously, you know, we know that clever databases offer all kind of control, access control, depending on your role in a project, right? But the principle of putting the information at the center, available to everybody, is absolutely key in the world of BIM. So an example would be that the design team, contractor, and facility manager get together at the very beginning of the project, right, to discuss asset lifecycle type challenges, you know, how to exchange data, what information should be managed for the purpose of the facility management and the asset lifecycle, versus the information that is required only for project delivery. For example, there is an element of information that is typical of the delivery stage. When you build a site, you tend to create zones. We start from zone A and then we move into zone B. This element of information is completely irrelevant to the facility manager because it's a transient subdivision of the site, right? So the choice of which element of information should be maintained, right, throughout the delivery stage so that it's then passed to the facility management is a big choice because the databases, the coding system has to be set up accordingly, right? Now this slide, which depicts this very nice bird, I was a bit reluctant to include it because there is so much stuff, there is a need of so many changes, if you want to implement BIM, technical, non-technical, behavioral, communication, that I think that an amount of wisdom is not a detail. Wisdom is required in a BIM environment, in a BIM team, right? You've got to discern between what is an exception to maybe a rigid process versus what is the rule. So I've decided to include this ingredient because I think it is very human. Because if we rely totally on computers, I think we are going towards a future that will not be very, very nice. The last element of this hypothetical recipe is imagination stroke fantasy. Now, the original slide was called fantasy because in Italian, fantasia, is actually has got also this meaning of imagination. Then a colleague of mine, English mother tongue, suggested that I change it into imagination. Now, what this slide is about is it's about the situation whereby a BIM environment has actually been achieved. So we have achieved this fantastic, by the way, I forgot to tell you, the intended savings in terms of money and time are massive. We are talking about 15-20%. This is what this government or this country would like to achieve. So this is something unbelievable, saving this amount of time and money is a very, very ambitious objective. But let's say that we save some time, right? If we have more time available, we should dedicate part of this time to studying the alternative solutions that may lead to further savings, right? Optioneering, cost engineering, all this stuff requires time, and if you have time, you've got to actually dig into your, what we call fantasy, into your imagination to develop different solutions, right? So saving time just for the sake of, saving time wouldn't be a really great benefit. Because this is another thought that comes to my mind over and over again. BIM will not produce time saving because raw material or whatever products are less expensive if you are adopting a BIM approach, right? That is, finding the cheapest raw material is a job of the procurement department if you buy something or if you free issue material to contractors. In my opinion, actually not only my opinion, the savings that may derive from a BIM approach are about reducing, if not eliminating, wastages, waste of time, waste of material, avoiding repetition of processes, right? This is where I see the great opportunity of saving money, because whatever we buy, if we go to the best source, that's the maximum saving we can make, right? So the challenges or problems, that somebody may call them, but challenges is the term that was agreed on Terminal 5, where I've got some colleagues, we were not allowed to use the term problems, so we've only got challenges. So the challenges that exist as of today are, if you want, the responsibility of software houses. You know, the technology underpinning a BIM solution is not 100% mature, we have to be honest. You know, you are told by software houses that the tool is fantastic, it's integrated, simple. In my opinion, there is room for improvement. You know, you will hit your nose about when you start installing your stuff and communicating data amongst or exchanging data amongst different databases. You know, there is still room for improvement, and also the simplicity of these applications is not exactly true. The second consideration is that this BIM thing is such a revolutionary change that it's not enough to take a course in BIM, I don't know, 2 weeks, 2 months, 6 months, whatever. There is a need of being involved continuously to understand, for example, what the IT is offering, you know, talking to people. So it's a continuous effort. So it's don't hope that by going to a course, you will resolve this challenge. The third challenge is that no matter how good the intentions are, if there are no appropriate contractual and legal documents that are governing a BIM solution, a BIM implementation, it will not happen. This is, you know, the human being has characteristics that are very often against collaboration and integration. Last but not least, you know, BIM is realized by human beings, and therefore companies must recognize this fact. You know, some individuals, especially those that have a deciding role, must be trained in order to understand the technical and non-technical aspects of BIM. So the companies have to recognize this, that training people is not a waste of money, but it's an investment. On the positive side, to make you smile, I hope. So the stuff that I've talked about by selecting, you know, the essential items is what you already do. So BIM itself is not rocket science. What is rocket science is to deal with these vertical aspects of the knowledge areas and this horizontal glue type thing that is not easy, but if you already are good at cost estimating, planning, project control, you are already, you know, well ahead in the BIM game. The second good news is that you will see more and more publications, congresses, expos, events on BIM. So, you know, by talking and exchanging ideas with people, you know, you will learn a lot of stuff just by communicating with friends and colleagues in the corridor. This is not a detail, because I've learned certain things just in very informal meetings and talks. From the point of view of the legal stroke contractual documents viewpoint, there are documents being created that are based the approach on a pain and gain share type culture. What does this mean? It means that some people are conceiving documents that will convince each player, from the contractor to the subcontractor to the client to the designer, that if you play the BIM game, there will be something in it for you. This is a major change, because as I've already said, and as I'm sure you will agree, you know, the human beings is not generous by nature. The contractor will always try to get as much as possible from the subcontractor, he will try to get as much as possible from the client, and so on. So there must be, every player must be convinced that there is something in it for each one of them in a BIM environment. The last one is, you know, I think that this country in particular has committed itself to BIM so heavily that it's going to stay with us for a long time. And the good thing is that I believe that working in a BIM environment is a more pleasant way of working. It's it's more interesting. I don't know how to put it, but it's better rather than working in your silos. I have learned a lot of stuff in the past years just because I have kept my eyes as open as I can under this huge umbrella called BIM, right? So my suggestions are that if you think that BIM is an interesting subject, you've got to make the effort of reading these documents. Maybe you will focus on the CapEx element rather than data security if this is not in your radar, but there is a lot of stuff that needs to be read, and I think you've got to make the effort to, I cannot help you in this. Each one of us has to invest some time in reading this documentation. If you feel that your communication skills can be improved, again, maybe some investment also in this area will not harm, because in a BIM team, this is a crucial aspect. This is again one suggestion of mine, whatever you do, just keep your eyes as wide as possible. Try to keep the big picture in mind all the time. Don't think that your knowledge is the only necessary thing in what is being done. Just keep the big picture in mind all the time. And as I said before, if you go in that direction, it will be greater fun. It will be more enjoyable to work, and you will come home in the evening less, maybe a little bit less frustrated. You know, your role will be clearer, must be defined, because in a minute, when you deal with information, you will have to have a specific role. And we know, I think, at least this is my personal experience, if you don't have a clear role in an organization or in a project, you end up by being frustrated. Okay? So this is the recipe. I've summarized it again here. So I hope that I have managed to demystify this thing called BIM, right? I hope I've convinced you that you already know a lot of this stuff, and that there are other areas of knowledge, sciences, disciplines that deal with BIM. For example, I was talking to a colleague of mine yesterday. He's a system engineering expert. In the world of system engineering, a lot of this stuff is common, right? Actually, there was a presentation about 6 months ago, and I compared the subject matters, you know, project controls and system engineering, and there were more points of contact than differences. Okay? As I've written here, and in order to conclude this presentation with a realistic view, as I said, there are still some challenges. So we've got to keep an eye on the software houses, on colleagues that have realized integration. And it's a realistic statement, but it's I think, very correct. So enjoy your BIM. Okay?